Hey, sleepers, it's your favorite host, Dirty Jobs Mike, and I'm here to tell you about pristineauction.com. This site literally has everything you need to deck out your man or woman cave with every single sporting item you can think of. Signed helmet, they've got them. Signed jersey, they got those too. And they're all certified authentic. And they got them cheap, boys and girls, with daily auctions for your chance to win. Just make sure you drop the promo code SLEEPER so they can toss you an extra $5 off of your first order. Remember, that's Pristine Auction, P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E, auction.com.
Welcome to the Sleeper Wire Show. My name is producer Steve, and it is week three. I didn't write a cool intro for this week. You know, there's so much talk about Cam Newton's outfits, Sam Darnold getting a kissing disease because he's out making out with sluts or sharing drinks with sluts. I don't know what's going on with that. But it's only week three. So, okay, we've got a small sample size, 2 weeks. But this show's going to be a little different this week. I've collected trends. I know it's only two-week trends, but I've collected some trends. We're going to look at these players that maybe we were really high on last week. We're, wow, these guys are hot. Or maybe we're like, oh, man, we expected more. Let's see what they did in week two. And let's try to figure out what we can expect in week three and beyond. I'm joined today with one of the most prepared persons I've ever done a show with, Jason, and from the Breaking from the Grind podcast, by the way. You should tune into that. And Max, he's here today, and I believe he's got a Twitter. If you want to chat with Max on the Sleeper app, it's at SWMax on Twitter. Max, can I reveal this? Is it time to launch the Twitter?
Yeah, it's MaxSW23.
Jason's on the Sleeper app as well at BFTGDRMIL. And on Twitter, FLDRMILBARGE. You can find me at Toledo Radio on Twitter, at SWSteve on Sleeper App. Okay, let's get kicked in to the show. We got a little bit of news to cover real quick here, and then we're going to get into the games, as I like to start with a little brief news. Oh, so many injuries. Quarterbacks got killed this week. I don't even know where to begin. Let's start with Ben Roethlisberger. I think this is probably the one that most people are freaking out about, maybe second only to Drew Brees. But Ben Roethlisberger out for the season now. With Ben out, it looks like Mason Rudolph is going to be the guy. What do you think about Mason Rudolph and the Steelers in general? Like, how panicked are you about the players, the skill position players in Pittsburgh?
I'm panicked about everybody that's not named Juju. I think Juju's going to be hyper-targeted. I think he loses some value because they all lose value. I like James Washington a little more because Rudolph and him have a connection. But, man, that whole team, Connor included, they all took a dive for me.
I see Mason Rudolph as kind of like a, I mean, he kind of reminds me a little bit of Ben. Confident, grinder, not afraid to let it rip. I think he's going to push the ball downfield. Max, what have you seen a lot of Rudolph and how he looks in this system?
Honestly, I thought he looked great. He made some veteran moves that I really liked. He hung in the pocket, wasn't afraid to get popped to make the correct throw. Realistically, you could tell halfway through the week one with the Patriots, Ben Roethlisberger's retiring. He doesn't want to play anymore. It's not in him. I think the right thing to do now is roll with Rudolph and see what you got. Third-round pick, rookie, he's got talent around. This is a very young team, and that could be in their favor. Young receivers, young running back, you know, build the new system with what you got because everyone there, I think, is talented.
Yeah, I agree. I want to mention oftentimes we see these replacement quarterbacks come in, rely on the tight end a lot, so I think maybe you could see a little bit more value in the tight end there. And I want to throw this name out there as a sleeper, Diontae Johnson. Look, the dude's from Toledo where I live. He is pretty athletic. He's kind of like that Antonio Brown style of athlete.
Jason mentioned James Washington. I'm about to bail on Moncrief. I don't think Moncrief is a very good pass catcher anymore. So do you think it's time to kind of rotate around and maybe if you have Moncrief, swap him out for Washington or even in a deeper league, Johnson?
Okay, so looking at the snap count this week, and I don't have it right in front of me, but I was looking at it earlier. It completely switched this week from last week where Washington was on the field more than Moncrief, even though Moncrief got the bulk of the actual targets, like the snap count switched, and I think that trend will continue. I think they're going to phase out Moncrief.
I agree with you there. I do think Moncrief is going to get phased out unless something dramatic happens and he shows massive improvement very quickly. That being said, as far as the tight ends go with rookies relying on them, I would look to adding their tight end. But I kind of trust Mason Rudolph more than I trust most rookie quarterbacks because for the limited production we saw, the kid had some swagger. And I feel like he's going to be confident. He's got a good O-line. He's got a good run game. They're going to rely on James Conner heavily. I wouldn't be too worried about Juju. I'd take a flyer on Washington and see what happens. Wouldn't start him right away, but have him on my bench because Rudolph could end up being very good.
Yeah. All right. I think it sounds like Max and I saw some of the same stuff in Rudolph. He to me, is probably out of all the replacement quarterbacks coming in this week, including Bridgewater, including Simeon. He's the guy I'm going for on waivers, especially in a two-quarterback league. Obviously, season-long value there, but I just like his style. I like his aggressiveness. Let's talk about the Saints. Drew Brees out probably about 6 weeks with a torn thumb ligament. Teddy Bridgewater is coming in. But don't forget, Taysom Hill is there, and he's often been called the future, the heir apparent to the Brees dynasty here. Do you think that Bridgewater is a good add? He didn't look great this week. I kind of want to add in a deeper league or stash away Taysom Hill. I just think he's more of a gadget player, and it's possible they might give him a couple of game starts.
If you're looking for a big boom, I would roster Hill just to have speculatively. But Bridgewater was a starting quarterback in the NFL, and he was an effective quarterback in the NFL. This is his first game in, what, 3 years? 2 or 3 years actually starting and playing. He's got to shake the rust off. They're going to give him a few weeks to really see what they have with him before they move on to Hill. But Hill is talented. If you have the depth in your bench and you can waste a roster spot, or not waste, but, you know, take up a roster spot for a speculative ad, I'd add Hill.
So you know why I don't like Bridgewater, and it goes back to why you guys like Rudolph. Rudolph has swagger. Bridgewater doesn't have swagger. And listen, it turned out to be a good move, but remember in the offseason, Bridgewater had a chance to go to a team to start. Now it's an awful Miami team, and he decided to stay in New Orleans as a backup. But he had a chance to go start somewhere and decided to be a backup. If anything screams no swagger, no confidence, it's that.
I genuinely couldn't disagree more. I think, why would you set yourself up for failure in Miami? Fitzmagic, he's taking a check. Miami's where you go if you are that backup quarterback your whole career and you just need a shot. You need to show someone you got something. Right. We know Bridgewater has something. And going to New Orleans, this was the opportunity he was looking for. Maybe not necessarily Drew Brees getting hurt, but, you know, you sit behind one of the greats of all time, and Drew Brees is going to be that. I think he's going to come back next season, but I could say maybe 2 years from now, Drew Brees retiring. And then Bridgewater has a team that he's comfortable with, a coaching staff that's extremely knowledgeable, and a coaching staff that builds a great team offensively. I think it's a confidence thing. What organization would you rather spend the rest of your career in? One that for the last decade has proven it can't handle itself, or one for the last decade that's proven that every year it's striving for the Super Bowl?
Yeah,
it's a no-brainer where I'd go.
It's a good point that you make that they build aggressive teams too. I mean, it's not like the Saints are going to fold it up. They want to go to the playoffs and win this season. So I have a feeling that Bridgewater is on a bit of a short leash. If he doesn't show something in a week or two, or if he shows to not be very good with the team, a lot of checkdowns and stuff. I mean, he didn't use Kamara much this week. We'll get into that later. They may roll Hill in there just for a week or two. I mean, Brees is coming back, hopefully. So we'll see what happens there. The Jets, obviously, their quarterback, Sam Darnold, I mentioned he is a slutty guy or something. I don't know. He caught the mono. I don't know if you have you, either of you had the mono.
Never had the mono. Not enough kissing in high school, apparently. But you know, I'll be happy not to have it. So what I heard happened, Bill Belichick gave Demaryius Thomas mono, knowing that the number one rule for the Jets is whoever gets traded to the Jets has to kiss Sam Darnold.
You know, that makes sense.
That's sneaky bad.
I can almost buy it.
Well,
he's a genius. He's evil and ingenious.
Well, the problem is, Amano, I had it once, right first year of college. It wipes you out, man. It just sucks all your energy out. And part of the issue in terms of injuries, too, is that it actually enlarges your spleen as part of the immune response. And so any contact, you can't play any contact sports for weeks, because if you get hit, even just lightly, your spleen can rupture and you're in serious trouble. So I have a feeling Darnold's going to be out for at least 4, if not more like 6 to 8. And I think that's the estimate is 6 to 8 weeks, because it can knock you out for a month, almost 2 months. And don't forget, I mean, Darnold will come back. It's not like a season-ending thing. It's an illness. It's not a physical injury, so it shouldn't affect any of his throwing mechanics or anything like that. It's really just basic health. So if there's an opportunity to buy low on Robbie Anderson, right now is probably the time. The window is just opening. We'll see how they do on Monday Night Football. If he has a stinker, you know, you may be able to get him on the cheap. Other news, we'll wrap up real quick. Gallup for Dallas, missing 2 to 4 weeks with some arthroscopic meniscus work, and Eli's time is limited in New York. Grab Golden Tate now. He's available in a couple of weeks. And maybe Jones in 2 quarterback leagues if you need bodies. Let's go on to the game reviews. All right, we're going to start not so much game reviews this week. We're going to look at teams and how they're doing the first 2 weeks of the NFL season. We're going to start with the Packers. And for the first week, we saw a lot of sloppy play. They were better in the second half. I'm sorry, better in the first half this week. Very good in the first half. But they started to have troubles when the Vikings offense got started. Now, I'm not concerned about Aaron Rodgers. I like him season long. But I'm a little concerned about Jimmy Graham. Max, I think you said it last week. Aaron Rodgers loves his tight end. He gave him no love this week. What's up?
I think Aaron Rodgers just went out there trying to throw big. Minnesota's the kind of team that will get on top of you and stay on top of you if you give them the chance. And I think he was afraid of that after last week. Last week was kind of pathetic in the grand scheme of things, in the Green Bay mindset, where they have all this talent at wideout, Aaron Rodgers at quarterback, a good running back. And I think he just kind of wanted to show off this week, and he wanted to go deeper. And Jimmy Graham isn't that guy. And it didn't really work out for them that much. I mean,
so you're still good with Jimmy Graham then? You're going to hang on to him?
Yeah, I mean, Jimmy Graham, to me, in relative to your tight ends, if you're someone like me who sits on tight ends and waits a while for him, Jimmy Graham's fine. But I have him as a backup right now.
Gotcha. Okay.
And to me, for a bye week fill, I like Jimmy Graham a lot.
I think we saw a significant shift in the Aaron Jones carries, obviously, from 13 last week to 23 this week. Got the majority of the carries. Williams, 5 last week, 9 this week. I think Williams is still going to be involved in this offense, though. There's maybe a handcuff, but I think in deep, deep leagues, maybe he can get you some points as a flex. He's looking interesting as sort of a stash for the Aaron Jones owner. Geronimo Allison, though, he caught a touchdown this week after not really playing last week. Do we like what we saw on the field from this guy?
So I liked Geronimo Allison. I think the worry is going to be I don't see this offense, even with Aaron Rodgers, as somebody who's going to – I don't think they're going to sustain 3 wide receivers. And I think the problem you're going to run into is this going to be an Allison week or an MVS week? And I don't know that you're ever going to be comfortable starting one over the other. I think it's going to go back and forth each week. Now, they've played 2 really good defensive teams, so maybe in some of their weeks where they end up playing, I don't know, the Broncos or – if they end up playing the Cardinals, if they play one of those down teams, okay, start all 3. You can start all 3 of them, but to me, it's going to go back and forth between MVS and Allison, and you're never going to want to start one of the 2.
Mm-hmm.
See, I'm going to go with, especially in PPR, because I agree with you. I don't think they can sustain 3 wide receivers. But I think MVS is the better receiver. You know, I think he's not the more, like, he's the more trusted receiver. He has better hands, in my opinion, and I think he's the guy I'd start. Allison would be good to add in case of injury, but MVS is the guy that I want because he's the number two with Adams number one. And I think Geronimo really fits in as an Adams replacement.
I have some questions about Allison's connection with Rodgers and overall maturity. Like the fumble that he lost this week, he seemed to be kind of laughing about it, which I don't think rubs anybody the right way on that sideline. That team is pretty serious, and that may come back to bite him in the ass with some more bench time.
Yeah, Rodgers, especially on the sideline when, you know, when you make a mistake or whatever, you need to seem remorseful and go apologize to the football gods. Because
yeah,
Rodgers is all business, and especially after a turnover, because they're not used to having turnovers.
Right. Let's hit on the Vikings real quick. Some very interesting usage up guys here. We saw Diggs not exactly get a lot more work. He's only seven. I mean, well, more targets, I should say. Not efficient, though. Two targets last week, seven this week, which is more what we expected. But just inefficient work this week. And I'm not sure if there's something wrong with Diggs, but I think you got to keep starting him. Rudolph kind of got involved a little bit more, too, with five targets as opposed to one last week. So Rudolph kind of working his way into the, I don't know, low third or fourth tier tight end.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what Rudolph's been the last few years. And if you don't need the huge plays, you don't need the deep balls that are going to go to Diggs, you're going to look at Thielen all the time. So Thielen, to me, is just a more trusted commodity there. I would never sit Diggs because at any given moment, the dude could go for 100 yards, three touchdowns. That being said, weeks like this, 49 with the tutty, I'm not shocked. Like, it's not a great week, but that's what I expect from him basically every week.
Yeah, I don't know if Kirk Cousins is going to give him that kind of production this year. I mean, he's just not looking that good in two games so far.
He's, so looking at it, and I saw the stat earlier, it's something like 4-for-25 against teams with winning records. Like, he is awful when he plays good teams.
But I mean, but that's such a weird stat. Like, what does that even mean?
Well, it means when you play against decent defenses and you're behind and you rely on the guy, he's unreliable.
He chokes.
He chokes. He just, it's pressure. He can't handle the pressure of a big game.
Mm.
That's something I heard from friends of mine that watch him a lot when they played with the Redskins. That's something that, they said to all the Viking fans when he went over there for all that guaranteed money. There's going to be weeks where you think Kirk Cousins is the greatest quarterback ever until you need to rely on him.
I'm talking more about Cousins' value for fantasy, though. Like, I don't think you can expect – you're not going to expect a lot of 30-point games out of him this year. I think you're going to have to –
No, he's a QB2. He's a QB2 and matchup-dependent.
Yeah, he may be absolutely matchup-dependent. So if you were counting on him to be a season-long quarterback, it might be time to start looking at some of these replacement quarterbacks, possible fill-ins, maybe a guy like Kyler Murray if he's still available who's got the upside. Maybe you can throw him in for a week here or there. Oh, I'm not saying drop him outright. Like, the team still has very talented skill players. It's just he just looks not right yet, and maybe it'll come around. The Bears, again, had trouble moving the chains this week. Trubisky, dude, I don't know about this. And he was, you know, supposed to be good this year. It looks like he is just not – there's something wrong with him. There's something wrong either with the play calling. He's not understanding the playbook. He looks inaccurate. He doesn't look like he's progressing. What is this, his third year? And he still looks like he's doing rookie mistakes. And he's not rushing. So for me, his fantasy value is dropping like a rock in the ocean.
Completely, completely agree. He looks lost. He's not rushing, which is one of the things that helped take pressure off his weapons, so he's not rushing. The play calling hasn't been good for him either, don't get me wrong. They're not using Cohen effectively, and I think we're going to talk about that in a few minutes, but he's making bad reads. He's not going through his progressions, and so for fantasy, look, his floor was his rushing ability, and if he's not going to do that, you can't start him.
I was going to say, I almost feel like Trubisky needs a give-me game, where he can just go against the team, who isn't going to rush him all the time, who's going to give him a second to really focus and get his mechanics down, because you're completely right. He's looking terrible. And I and the rest of the, I think, NFL fans thought this season was going to be the season where he actually stood out. That being said, I'd still trust Robinson. The running game definitely concerns me. They are not using Cohen right. And I just hope someday Allen Robinson gets himself a quarterback that can throw the ball accurately to him.
Yeah. Maybe the Miami Dolphins can do like get right scrimmages for like a sixth or seventh round draft pick or something like that. What about that? Like, hey, we'll come play you and make your quarterback feel good if you throw us a what do you call it? Compensation pick?
A compensatory pick.
Compensatory pick.
Yeah, I think that would be honestly great for both teams.
Yeah, it would.
Miami
right?
needs all the picks they can possibly have.
I like
so
it.
So the Bears, looking at the Bears' schedule, the Redskins' defense is not bad, but they're not awful. Then they have the Bears, and then they go to the Raiders. So if there's going to be then they have the Vikings. They are the Bears. Then they have the Vikings, and then they go to the Raiders. So if there's a get-right game, it's in 3 weeks against the Raiders.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned
Minnesota's not going to take it easy on them.
No, absolutely not. It's going to be a tough division. It's got three really good teams in it right now. Well, two good teams, I think, and maybe one that's struggling. But the Lions, I don't know about yet. But you mentioned Cohen got about half the usage he got last week. I feel like he's got to get at least 10 targets a game to be usable. And who knows? It's hard to predict until you can see that a couple weeks in a row. Like, they got to keep using him as the gadget player. The dude's super explosive. But what I do like, the nice usage up in this team, Montgomery just about tripled. Only tripled his carries. Went from 6 last week to 18 this week. So it looks like they're finally committing to Montgomery and saying, Mike Davis, sit down, be humble.
Well, and they gave him six attempts near the goal line. You know, they went for it 3 times, gave it to him 3 straight times. There was a penalty. It gave him a first down, and then they gave it to him 3 straight times. He did finally punch it in and get that touchdown. So, but the usage wasn't great. He didn't do well with it, right? Taking 6 attempts to get in, but they kept giving it to him, which is, for us, just opportunity.
Right. Very encouraging. But as Max said, Robinson had a down game, still like 7 targets. So that's not bad. I mean, it was a rough game for the receiving corps in general. I think that gets back. Keep in mind, Trey Burton came back in action. So, you know, maybe that'll help a little bit. I still think he's a pretty good tight end if he's healthy. So that could open things up in the middle of the field maybe and just get some more space and give him some more time. The Broncos, this game, I don't know. A lot of people thought the Broncos were screwed. Did you guys see the end of this game?
I did. And I do. I do think they got screwed. They that 15-yard penalty roughing the passer, that was a clean hit. It was a bang bang play basically. And then giving them a timeout with that little time on the clock, I have no idea how that happens.
I didn't have a lot of up and down type of things in this game because it seems like everybody's kind of doing what you expected, I guess. Emmanuel Sanders is a bit of a surprise if you didn't think he was going to recover, but I mean, the dude's, he's good. I want to mention Sutton's quietly getting a nice target share in the offense. I like him as he's becoming more and more efficient. He's a nice flex. But let's talk about the run game. It's become a very clear split to me. Lindsey and Freeman are getting just about the same amount of carries in any given week. I don't know. Sometimes it looks like Freeman is the better running back.
This week, for sure, Freeman looked better. What surprised me more than anything, because I didn't think Freeman was great receiving the ball out of the backfield, but he caught 5 for 48. They're targeting him out of the backfield, which is something they did almost exclusive with Lindsey last year. If that continues, if they keep passing the ball to Freeman, that just really hurts both. It helps Freeman a bit, but you know, he's not that great in the first place, so it brings him up and brings Lindsey down, and they both have an average median.
Yeah, but what I think you're looking at here is Freeman, you know what you have. He's probably the most consistent running back they have, as to where Lindsey is the most explosive. So this is going to be an even split, and it's going to be rough for you guys who thought Freeman was going to be the starter. I know I did in one league, but now he's a flex guy for you with some upside. If you're in a PPR, lean more Lindsey. But I think Freeman gives the Broncos what they expect. And like I said, Lindsey's the explosive dude who can wake the defense up, who can exploit the lackadaisical defense, if you know what I'm saying.
Yep, gotcha. Let's move on to the Bills. Josh Allen and the Buffalo are looking pretty good, but I want to know, is it because they played the Giants and sick Sam Darnold in the first 2 weeks? Are you buying into this Josh Allen and John Ross combination? I mean, they look explosive. Max, talk about Cole Beasley.
Cole Beasley's a little stud. He's a stud. I don't care what anyone says. PPR stud. Keep him on your team. Flex every week. Josh Allen has so much swagger. If you don't start him, you're crazy. And is he great? No. Could he be great? Possibly. But he's a dual threat. Ground and rushing. Ground and air. Yeah, ground and rushing. Ground and air, and I love that. And he's not dumb when he runs. He runs smart, in my opinion. So I play him with confidence. If I didn't take one of those early quarterbacks, if I'm the guy who grabbed Kirk Cousins and I'm nervous because he's not looking very consistent and I just need someone, if Allen has a decent matchup, if he's not going against like Minnesota or the Bears, I'd start Allen because I expect, you know, the 250 through the air, touchdown two, but then probably 30 to 40 yards rushing and a touchdown.
He reminds me a lot of Cam Newton. He's not accurate, but he can throw. He has a good arm, and he can throw the ball deep. So if his guys can get under it, and he has the upside of rushing. Now he's not a run through you like Cam was, but he's kind of a fast run and then get out of bounds guy. I like him a lot. I'm like Max said. I'm 100% dropping Kirk Cousins for Allen if I had Kirk Cousins. I'm not a two quarterback on my roster guy, so Allen's going to be the starter until he has a bad matchup, and then I find somebody else. But Allen's absolutely, to me, a top 12 guy at the end of the season.
I like it. But keep an eye on Tyler Kroft. He may be coming back week three. He offers some interesting tight end position there. I don't know if they'll use him a lot, but, you know, could be a red zone target when they get down in the red zone for a touchdown or two. And he wasn't horrible when he was with the Bengals, so you might want to take a look at him. I'm not going to say that Josh Allen loves his tight ends because I could say that about every quarterback and be right or wrong half the time. The Giants, though, this news came out today that apparently Eli Manning is not guaranteed to be the starter for much longer. So I guess the big thing, you probably, if he isn't already rostered, Golden Tate, I think, makes a really good waiver ad this week for a couple of weeks down the road. Here's what I think is going to happen when Daniel Jones starts. I think they're going to keep it a very simple game plan. I think they're going to give him a lot of easy-to-complete passes. I think Golden Tate is going to be very usable as a PPR person. I think Ingram's going to be okay. I think Shepard's going to be okay when he gets back. Guys, talk to me about Beanie Fowler. This guy just kind of came out of nowhere. 10 targets this week for 51 yards. Had 5 targets last week, though.
Until there's a new receiver, I kind of view everything short of Barkley as a mirage in that team. I wouldn't trust anything. Maybe Ingram, just because Eli is throwing to him so much because he's always rushed. But the offense is, the coaches are just throwing stuff out there. Fowler looked good. But I think they were just trying to save him.
So I think Fowler is a very short-term rent if you need somebody this week. Because like you said, Golden Tate comes back in 2 weeks. Shepard will come out of the concussion protocol. They'll have their one and two. So Fowler could be a slot guy in that situation, but you still have Evan Ingram and Saquon Barkley. So I think after, you know, so totally week five, they'll have their one and two guy back as long as he comes off the concussion protocol, Shepard does, healthy. So I think if you pick up Fowler because you see 15 targets in 2 games, it's very short term, and you don't even know if he's going to be used well next week.
Yeah, absolutely. But the Ravens, okay, another huge day for Jackson.
I like Jackson a lot, but this almost reminds me of Colin Kaepernick's first year, where he was a phenom because he'd beat you on the ground, he'd beat you through the air, and then teams figured him out. And I'm kind of afraid that in a few, maybe 3 weeks, teams are going to figure Jackson out. They're going to have more film on him. They're going to game plan for him better. And that kind of scares me long term for him. But they're, as far as to who to own here, right now it's Jackson, Brown, and Ingram, and I don't really see anyone else.
So I don't think it's that teams are going to figure him out because he played and ran last year. He's looking better as a passer, and that's not him. That's just him with better mechanics this year. He's a little more accurate this year, and he's got better weapons too, especially with Brown. What scares me is that he's played, everybody's looking at his numbers, but he's played the Dolphins and he's played Arizona, two awful defensive teams, and it's going to roll right into next week where the Chiefs are, where he plays the Chiefs, another team where they're going to have to throw the ball a lot because they're probably going to be behind because the Chiefs are running up the score on everybody. So he's going to throw the ball a lot and he's going to look good again against that bad defense. So what gets me is once he starts playing good defenses, that's what I want to see if he's going to play well. Not that teams are going to figure him out. He's just going to play better teams.
Let's talk about the Cards. The sloppiness in the red zone was kind of the nail in the coffin in this game for the Cards. But I will say two things. Kicker, Zane Gonzalez is great if you need a kicker, if you play with kickers, and he's probably available because I doubt anyone drafted him. But the dude is pretty automatic with field goals, and he's getting a lot of opportunities. And Kyler Murray had quite a game, a lot of yardage, almost 350 yards. Only completed about, 25, just over 50% of his passes. But he looked like he was much more comfortable this week. He was airing the ball out. He was working in that system. I think he's going to be fantasy relevant for a nice solid floor. And don't forget, this guy can also rush, and he hasn't rushed yet. So all he needs to do is start throwing some touchdowns, and I think you've got a really good QB2 if in a two-quarterback league or even a replacement streamer quarterback if you're not happy with some of your guys, hell, if you're a Cam Newton owner. I'd almost really look hard at putting Kyler Murray high on my waiver list if I'm a Cam Newton owner this week.
Yeah, and the thing about Kyler, unlike Lamar Jackson, Kyler played a tough defense this week. The Ravens are good. So he played a good game against a pretty stout defense, and he showed up. So, again, you'd like to see more touchdowns, but from what you've seen from him coming back after an awful start week one and having a really good second half and having a pretty good game this week against a really good defense, like, you can see his future is probably pretty bright.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with that more.
I'm good with Kirk. I'm good with Fitzgerald. You got to keep starting those guys. They're pretty stable, a lot of usage. Keyshawn Johnson, who saw 10 targets week one, only saw 5 this week. So in deeper leagues, maybe might be time to bail on him. But all right, the Dolphins, you know, I almost just want to, like, not talk about the Dolphins half the time because I feel like they just embarrassed themselves again.
We don't need to.
Yeah, I mean, okay, well there is, like, I, you could say there's no value. They said Fitzpatrick is the starter again. Whatever. He stunk. He might stink again.
The team's bad.
Did you see the play where Kalen Ballage, like, got out of the way of a pass?
Oh, yeah, just ducked the pass.
Yeah.
Totally didn't even try for it.
What kind of effort is that? So, in terms of usage, there's not a lot to look at. Preston Williams is probably the only guy, and maybe only a value in garbage time. This guy seems like he actually wants to play football. Went up to 6 targets from 5 last week, but it was more efficient this week, although he got a touchdown week one. He's the only one I'm looking for on this team.
So the only possibility is trying to buy Drake Lowe because reports came out that he wanted to be traded, but everybody else read the same report, so it's going to be hard to get him for a value.
But where would he go? Where would he go that he'd get used unless a team is going
Tampa.
To give
up
a running back? Because right now, but Tampa Bay, they have decent running backs. They just can't use them quickly. I wouldn't want anyone on that team unless you're in a 14-team league. Preston Williams has slight value in garbage time.
Maybe Parker. I mean, he saw 7 targets the first 2 weeks here. Didn't do anything with them this week. So bench stash in deep, deep leagues. Hate to try to start him, though. It's going to be really hard to trust any of these guys. But, yeah, Williams is the only guy that caught my attention. Start your defense against Miami every single week. If you're streaming defenses, plan ahead. Look for that Miami game. The Patriots, I think they really wanted to see here how Antonio Brown looked with Brady. Got a lot of targets, 4 in the end, 4 in the red zone. Brown finished with a pretty good stat line. Could have scored a second time, but dropped an end zone pass. And who took the hit? Josh Gordon. 2 catches for 19 yards only. I don't think this is going to be a trend, though. I think they're going to kind of balance out. Do you guys see that? I mean, in terms of usage with Brown, Edelman, Gordon, White, it's hard to pick who's going to be the top guy every week, right?
I expect the stat, like 8 targets to Brown, I expect that every week. Brady loves using his all-stars with Randy Moss. He fell the ball consistently.
Brady loves his tight end. Said,
he does love his tight end, but Gordon is also an all-star. He will get Gordon the ball. I think Dorsett cut into him this week.
I also thought you saw a game where they got up quick. The defense scored 2 times. They didn't have to pass a lot. Sony Michel got 21 carries for 85 yards. So they didn't really have to pass that much. And if they actually play pro-level competition and they have to throw more, Gordon and AB will equal out a little bit better than what we saw this week.
Chiefs, Mahomes, good, whatever. Don't need to worry about him. Hardman and Robinson both turned out for pretty good games. Hardman actually had a 72-yard touchdown called back on a McCoy hold. But I think you can add and should add either one of those guys if either are still available. I know a lot of people probably picked up one or the other, but they both looked usable, and I think they'll both be usable because, as we saw, Sammy Watkins came back down to earth after his 3 touchdown game. Which guy, if you could pick one, Robinson or Hardman, who are you going with?
I think Robinson. I'm going to go with Robinson. Yep.
Robinson, okay. All right. I'd be cool starting either one, to be honest, I think.
No, I'd definitely go with Robinson, though, just on the fact that, to me, he looks more like Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, Hardman's
and
fast.
And that's literally it.
Yeah, Hardman's fast. He had a touchdown called back. He had 1 touchdown. He looked good, but Robinson, when he's been forced to start, has played well previously, and we've only seen it really from Hardman for 1 game. That's the only reason why I'd pick Robinson over Hardman.
And I don't want to panic people on Sammy Watkins. Like, he still had 13 targets, 11 last week, 13 this week. It's not like he's not getting looked at anymore. He just wasn't very good, wasn't very efficient this week. So I think you start the wide receivers. You start everyone you have on the Chiefs no matter what. The Raiders usage down guy was Josh Jacobs. He only had, 12 carries as opposed to 23. I think it's because the game just got out of hand. He did have a really nice run, so I like Josh Jacobs. Has a bit of a groin issue, so keep an eye on that. Interesting guy, Hunter Renfrow. He could be emerging here with Tyrell Williams hurting up from a hip pointer.
Hoos has been in love with Hunter Renfrow, and Hoos is usually right when it comes to these weird picks.
Yeah, he is.
And he did have hype. He did have hype on himself coming in. I think the Raiders really came out and actually looked this week. You don't never want to see the 2 interceptions from Carr, but they looked like a more solid team. So, you know, Hunter Renfrow, I'd get him. Flex, hope for more. But Josh Jacobs, I do agree. He looked good. Hopefully he's healthy, and he comes back strong.
The thing that scares me about Josh Jacobs is we actually saw some Jalen Richard on the field. Like, he actually got some passes thrown his way, and Josh Jacobs was supposed to be the guy that comes in and does all the third down. Now, Josh Jacobs had a groin issue, so maybe you're just pulling him off so you don't, so maybe he doesn't hurt himself even further in a game that got away from him. Derek Carr looked good in the first half, but as soon as they started getting blown out, Carr's not the guy that's going to bring you back, and that's when he threw the 2 picks. So, the games where Carr, where they have a chance to be in the game, like, Carr is usable, but if you think he's going to have to throw the ball a lot, you can't start him.
Jaguars, move on to them. We talked about this last week as a team that's dysfunctional from the inside, and you saw it this week if you were watching the sidelines when Doug Marrone and Jalen Ramsey almost got in a fight. I mean, what the hell are you thinking, Jalen Ramsey? And now he wants to be traded, and I think they should, I mean, hell. The guy wants to fight the coach. Why not get rid of him? It's really, really bad in Jaguar land.
Jalen Ramsey, it came out today, though, that he wants to play man press coverage. He's a physical cornerback. That's what he's good at. And he doesn't shine in zone. And he really doesn't. And the Jags have switched to zone defenses. He hates it. He wants to play man. And honestly, if you're going to be this selfish and act this way, maybe the Jets should Jags should trade him, try to get a quarterback. I don't know who'd give up their quarterback for Jalen Ramsey, but there could be a backup floating around the league. Maybe try to scoop Tannehill and something else for Ramsey, maybe a pick.
I think Minshew's a fine start. So you want to talk about swagger. The story came out about Minshew. Did you guys hear about his pregame warm-ups?
No.
Okay, so Minshew does his stretching in the locker room in nothing but a jockstrap. And you know what? I have to tell you guys, the reason I don't have a camera is because I did my pre-show stretching in nothing but a jockstrap.
I knew you were going to say that, you monster.
There's a visual image for all of you.
So you think Mishnu's fine? I disagree. I don't think he's good. He didn't look good until the last two drives of the game. But before that, he didn't do much. Tell me why he's fine.
Well, so, I mean, fine as we didn't buy into this offense when we had Nick Foles. What were we
no,
selling?
That's true.
D.D. Westbrook, right? That was going to be the wide receiver that comes out of this team. Everybody thought, well, Fournette's going to be fine because he's going to get volume. But nobody thought, well, Fournette's going to all of a sudden average 6 yards a carry. He's going to average 3 yards a carry. So he's fine because that offense was bad before Minshew was in.
Okay.
So he doesn't
make it any worse is what you're saying.
That's exactly what, like, so Foles could have been a little bit better, and if there was an option for a better quarterback out there, great, but there's not. So, like, Minshew is going to do what Minshew does.
Yeah, if you went out and grabbed him in a 2QB league just because he was the only guy taken over from last week, I feel like you could probably do better this week. I think you've got better replacement quarterbacks coming in this week.
You blew your fab budget a week too soon.
You blew it on Gardner Minshew. Shame on you. Anyway, DJ Chark looks like the guy that he has a real connection with. Westbrook kind of disappeared, as you mentioned, this week. Chris Connolly looks to be the most consistent of all the wide receivers there. So if you're looking for a consistent guy, Connolly's probably it. Upside, maybe Chark is the guy. Yeah, I know Lucas was really high on Chris Connolly as well. So that's a good call there. Fournette, I don't know. Maybe a buy low? Two rough games? I can't imagine this is going to continue. I mean, he's got to. Once he gets upwards of 20 carries, I think he'll be okay.
Well, he's also getting used a little bit in the passing game, which is something they said. So 4 of 6 for 40 yards, you know, PPR, that's 8 points, right? So it's not what you want out of Fournette, but at least they're showing they're willing to back up the preseason talk of them using him in the passing game.
In the Texans side, Bill O'Brien, I hate you so much. You make dumb coaching decisions every season and piss me off, but somehow the Texans got away with a win in this game. Watson didn't look good. I don't know what's going on. I think they're hiding something. There's something off there. Usage up was good. I mean, we saw Carlos Hyde get double the amount of carries this week, about the same amount of yardage, but it's nice to see somebody get 20 carries in a Houston Texans offense. However, Duke Johnson took the hit. And his carries went down, and his targets went almost to zero. He only got one target this week. What the hell is going on? That's worth a what the hell is going on.
What the hell is going on?
So, yeah, I think what you're looking at here is a very stout Jags, and they needed to eat as much clock as possible because they weren't moving the ball. They needed those 1-2 yard gains, move the ball a little bit, eat as much clock as possible. Because I think you're right, Winston didn't look right. The offense wasn't clicking. But the Jags defense, if you try to run up the gut with Duke Johnson, he would have been destroyed.
Well, that's not how you use Duke Johnson, though. That's never how Duke Johnson's been used. He's never been
I understand that, but you're not going to get the edge with Duke Johnson against the Jags. You're just not. The Jags what the Jags have going for them right now is their defense. It's fat, hits hard, and I think Houston went into survival mode. And they just wanted to get out with a win, and that was it. They wanted to eat as much clock as possible and just eke out a win.
So I think maybe they dumbed down the offense a little bit because they knew they were playing the Jags. The Jags actually did look good on defense this week. They didn't implode like week one. Duke Johnson, the thing everybody had questions about when Duke Johnson got traded to the Texans was that the Texans has never been a team that passes to the running back. So I think we're going to have weeks where he gets some because that's what the game calls for. But then you're going to have games like this where Hyde looks a lot like Lamar Miller, 20 for 90, yeah. No touchdowns. and Duke Johnson, you know, he's just there like he was in Cleveland.
Yeah, Carlos Miller.
So I think that was the thing. I mean, again, it's mostly the Jags took away Hopkins and Watson got hurt, I think, running for a touchdown. They hurt his back pretty early, right, yeah. In this game?
Yeah.
And then didn't look right much after that.
The Eagles? Oh, shit. It's the Tecmo Bowl. I'm sorry. Bo Jackson is injured. Music. Rough game. A lot of injuries on the Eagles. And I think it took a toll on that offense, and their defense got pretty banged up, too. So usage up was Aguilar. And also, Alshon hurt. D-Jack's hurt, so obviously Aguilar is the guy. Like, he has proven before, when all the other wide receivers are out, he can get the job done. So he might be a waiver target for you. Mac Hollins is the other guy that nobody's talking about. Mac Hollins, 50 yards, 5 receptions, good PPR day. Max, you're an Eagles fan. Talk to me about this wide receiver situation.
I felt so vindicated this week at roster Nelson Aguilar. He will emerge as a solid receiver for you. And this just proves that he's a very talented receiver. Alshon gets hurt a lot, but I don't expect him to be out very long.
No, he misses like
D-Jax
2 or 3 games.
D-Jax is what concerns me.
Yeah, yeah, that one.
D-Jax concerns me. I don't know the injury right now. I wouldn't drop him yet, but I would try to roster Aguilar if you could. Besides that, I mean, Aguilar is the only receiver I'm looking for on that team to roster as of now. Because if Mac Collins is nice, you know, Fai, that's great. I don't know enough of him. But I expect they're going to rely heavily on Sproles, Ertz, and Aguilar next week if they're missing D-Jax and Alshon.
So I know D-Jax is a groin. They said it wasn't too bad. He thinks he'll be ready in time. It's a short week, so I'm not sure. Aguilar, if those two guys are out, he's a guy that's going to be the number one pickup for me. But I will say, and I don't know if Max is a Eagles starter or fan, he stayed up and watched it, but Aguilar straight up let the game-winning touchdown go right through his hands. Just straight up let it go through his hands last night. So you'll get the good with the bad with Aguilar.
Still kind of splitting Sanders and Howard. In terms of touches, and neither one of them is really showing me too much good yet. So hold on to those guys, I guess. I might be out on Howard pretty soon. I might be dumping Howard.
I'm out on Sanders. I'd rather Howard. I think of the two, they want Sanders to be the guy.
Yeah.
But I think Howard's run style will fit better with their offense if they go to what they should do and air the ball out. They should be a pass first team, and then when the defense backs up, you run up the gut with Howard.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, the problem is when Howard's on the field, you know he's not catching the ball.
Exactly, yeah. You know it's coming up the gut. That's the problem.
But he can catch. He can. He did it with the Bears his rookie season. He can catch the ball.
He can catch. He just can't make anything happen after the ball hits his hands. So it's 100% on you're getting whatever the air yards are and nothing more, where somebody like Sanders – you're expecting him to be able to catch the ball and make something afterwards.
Yeah, Howard takes what's given to him in the blocking. If you can block upfield for him, he's fine. But if he doesn't get any blocking, he's hitting the back of his lineman and he's falling down. That's no good. Talk about the run game and the Falcons, too. This concerns me a lot. So the usage is stable in terms of Freeman getting about the same amount of touches, 8 carries, first week, 11 this week, not doing anything with them. Again, I think it's a situation of, like, he can only really get what's given to him in blocking. I think he's the more agile and probably the better cutter in terms of Ito Smith, although Ito Smith is a bit, like, maybe faster straight away. So when Ito Smith breaks a big play, he looks really good. But he does a lot of running into the back of his lineman as well. So the Falcons, to me, it's all pass right now. I have no issues with Julio, Ridley, Hooper, Sanu. They're all very stable. Matt Ryan looked better this week. I don't know if there's really a lot to talk about in terms of the Falcons. They kind of seem to be what we expected, minus an active run game right now.
Yeah, Freeman looks good in space, but he can't get in space because that offensive line is awful.
Yeah.
They're not doing what they did a couple years ago where they'd find creative ways to get Freeman in space. So he's just looking bad because there's no blocking for him whatsoever.
He's a buy low, but I wouldn't pay too much because I don't know if it's going to be better.
I wouldn't buy him. So there's guys I'm buying low because I think they're going to turn it around. Like Mike Evans to me is a perfect buy low.
Yeah.
But looking at Freeman the first couple weeks, unless that offensive line drastically improves, I can't buy him because I don't see him turning it around.
Okay.
You got to think, though, Freeman was a third or fourth round pick. If you could trade Carlos Hyde, possibly. If you're not, I don't know, that's a tough one because Carlos Hyde, with getting the majority of snaps.
Carlos Miller, as he is from now on known. Sorry, Carlos Miller.
Carlos Miller. Done.
Oh, Freeman... he's just too good for me to not want to start. I wouldn't start him, though. I have him on two teams, and it's a hard thing to look at with your lineup because the talent's there. I'd say give it a week, throw him at flex, see what happens, and if he lets you down again, then you just bench him. Yeah. And you can't drop him because this guy has the ability to at any point explode.
Yeah, nobody's
talking about dropping. If that offensive line figures it out, he's going to be amazing.
Right. The Redskins, we're going to talk about the Redskins a little bit. Keenum, again, inaccurate on his throws in the second half. I'm not totally sold on Case Keenum, but the stat line at the end of the game is good enough for fantasy. Ride Keenum for now until you can't ride him anymore, I guess. Usage-wise, Terry McLaurin, again, proved to be super stable. If you grabbed him on waivers, good for you. We recommended him a ton on the mail sack. Terry Quinn... pretty stable as well, seeing 7 targets this week, 6 last week. Not doing a lot with them, but deep leagues might be worth an ad. I don't know if there's much else to talk about on this team.
Chris Thompson for me.
Okay.
Chris Thompson, you know, 5 for 8 targets for 48 yards. I don't know, Adrian Peterson doesn't look all that great, 10 for 25. He did get the touchdown to save his week. So out of the backfield, I'm okay with Chris Thompson.
Cowboys look good again. Dak Prescott looked good again. Usage up with Gallup out for a little while. They're talking about Devin Smith. He'll have a role. He went 3 for 74 and a touchdown this week. Top waiver ad for you guys with that offense looking like it's humming.
He's not my top waiver ad, but he is a guy I'm looking at if I don't get my top waiver ad. Dak is showing that with Amari on one side, he can support another wide receiver on the other. I really am sad about Gallup because he was a guy I mentioned a lot on the Blitz this week, and he had a decent game, 6 for 68, but he didn't get a touchdown again. But I was looking forward to watching Gallup on the other side of Cooper all year.
And Gallup was looking very well, but I would, until I see it, which sounds crazy, I know, we sit on people, but I like Randall Cobb, 6 targets, 5 receptions. It's nice for PPR. For yards, a little lackluster, but last week he had 69 and a touchdown. And, you know, you're going to lean on your veterans. And off the waiver wire, Randall Cobb is someone I'd – in a deeper league, or if you just need that flex, if you had Gallup, Randall Cobb's someone I'd go after.
Yeah, talk about veterans, Jason Witten, 2 touchdowns in 2 games now. Not a lot of yards, but, hell, you know what? If you need a fill-in tight end for some reason, he's not the worst. The Rams, let's talk about the Rams. Goff didn't play well again, in my opinion. I think he looks flustered under pressure, which I didn't expect. He looked really calm and cool last year, and all of a sudden he looks like a little scared and a little hesitant. Also just lost right guard Austin Blythe. He might be out for a while, so that might make things worse. I don't know. Again, with the wide receivers, we talked about this last week. You don't know. 2 are going to be good usually, and 1's going to have an off day. It was Woods. Woods will bounce back. Guys, anything else to say about this? I mean, the Rams' offense looks okay, but not great.
Malcolm Brown. I still have him, but the problem is what you're holding him and hoping to start him. So if you're not the Gurley owner, do you keep Malcolm Brown? What do you guys think?
I'd hold him just in case Gurley gets injured again, just because he's a history of being injured.
The Saints, let's talk about the Saints. We talked about Drew Brees being out. We talked about Teddy Bridgewater, how we all feel about him. He wasn't effective, I didn't think, very much in this game, but again, he came in the middle of the game. He's going to have more time to prepare. I'm concerned about Kamara's usage mostly. I think Thomas is going to be fine. You might want to look at guys like Tre'Quan Smith and Jarrett Cook, who maybe he worked with more. You know, those second string guys, those practice guys, they might see an uptick in usage. Any real concerns about the Saints offense, or is it kind of like Pittsburgh? Like, you kind of downgrade a little bit everybody? Is it that bad with Bridgewater, or is it worse?
I think it's worse, only especially if you're the Kamara owner and what you were expecting to get out of him. You know, Kamara's value was getting all those touches in the red zone. Every year he got a ton of touches in the red zone. And inside the 20, not even inside the 10, Kamara was deadly. Scored more often than almost anybody else, I think, than anybody else once inside the 20. And he's going to have way less opportunities inside the 20 than you're used to seeing when you have Drew Brees on the field.
But my question is there any value that we didn't already know about on that team? Like, are you – I mean, Jarrett Cook, for being drafted as high as he was, hasn't done much. Do you think he gets better? Do you like any of the like secondary wide receivers or anything like that anymore now?
I like Jared Cook better. I like Ted Ginn more, but Jared Cook mostly.
Ted Ginn,
because I like Ted Ginn. I love Ted Ginn, and I think he is the safety valve.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Ted Ginn is definitely not their number one or number two.
Dude, everybody
he
loves.
Was kind yeah. of.
Everybody loves Ted Ginn.
You can love Ted Ginn. He wasn't high. 2 weeks ago, last week when I was on the show, Ted Ginn was not high. We spoke about this last week. That being said, Jared Cook does see an uptick. Bridgewater did like his tight ends.
Okay.
And Jared Cook, I think
Teddy
year in, year
Bridgewater
out.
Bridgewater loves his tight ends. Panthers, this is
I feel personally attacked right now, Steve.
Dude, I'm just agreeing with you with enthusiasm. That's all. I'm just agreeing. Don't wait till we get to the Seahawks. Someone else loves their tight ends. The Buccaneers. Jameis Winston played better. I feel a little bad about dropping him after his week one performance. I might pick him back up because I still like him season long. But I'm concerned that O.J. Howard disappeared in this game. I don't know what happened with him. And Mike Evans maybe still not healthy. Jason, kick us off with the Bucs talk. Tell us what's going on in there.
Okay, so O.J. Howard's on the field 30% more than he was last year, which is good, but that offensive line is trash, and O.J. Howard's a good blocker, so it's bad.
Gotcha.
That's basically it. He's on the field but not running routes. The coach came out this week and kind of challenged him, said O.J. Howard's the reason why O.J. Howard isn't doing better statistically. So Mike Evans still wasn't 100% healthy from the flu and kind of had the short week after being sick on Sunday. So that didn't do him any favors. But I also think he's never great against the Panthers. He took the number one corner, which left Godwin with the number two, and he looked good doing it. 8 of 9 for 121. Peyton Barber looked good. So in the third quarter, they started to try and get Ronald Jones going, and then he had a 12-yard run, and it looked to me like, and they didn't announce anything, but I kept saying it because I saw it on the field, he got hurt after that 12-yard run. He got up hobbling a little bit, and then you didn't see him carry the ball again. So I don't think he showed up on the injury report, but I think he just was hurt through the rest of that game, and I think you'll see more split usage and not Barber so much. Their defense played better.
They did.
They only
allowed
one touchdown through two games.
Their defense did play better, and I think their defensive play calling has been more aggressive, and it looks good. It looks good. I don't know if it's a defense you can start. Maybe against certain teams, yeah. It might be a defense you could stream against certain teams. The Titans... This is like the most vanilla team in terms of stability. Corey Davis, Delanie Walker, A.J. Brown, and Henry, they're all pretty much whatever. They're the same week to week. Nothing really popped out to me that made me go, wow, that's crazy, except for A.J. Brown. Same amount of targets, almost same amount of receptions. His yardage went way down from 100 yards week one to 25 yards this week. I kind of feel like this team is just what it is. Let's look at the other side of that game. Colts. Jacoby Brissett with another good game. 7 rushes for 25 yards. That's nice to see. And 3 touchdowns. Only 1 interception. Yardage kind of low. But we got to see Eric Ebron and Jack Doyle get a little bit more involved. Paris Campbell and T.Y. Hilton, stable usage. I'd like to see, you know, more from the other wide receivers here. But Marlon Mack, not as much. Pretty much stable usage as well. A couple less carries. Other than that, I think this team is another one that's almost the same as the Titans. Like, pretty standard stuff for 2 weeks. I think Brissett is going to be more aggressive downfield, though. And if I had to pick a quarterback to fill in for a week or a streamer, I'd take Brissett 6 days a week and twice on Sunday over Mariota.
If I was going to look at this team right now, like, oh, who could I add off waivers? I'd drop Cam Newton for Brissett.
Yeah, I'd be good with that.
Straight up.
Yeah, I'd be good with that.
And I love the fact that Marlon Mack's getting the 20 carries. To me, that's huge. Because there was speculation that he wasn't going to get the full workload, and I love that they really committed to him. Wasn't his best week, but I expect better things. The team looks great for what it is without Andrew Luck, and Brissett's a little baller. So.
Yeah. Deion Kane had some hype. Anything about him?
I mean, you think somebody's going to have to step up, but I don't until I see it. Until we see it on the field, I don't think he's somebody I'd pick up.
All right.
Agreed.
The Bengals offensive line, we warned you about it in the preseason. Injuries already had taken a toll on that team before the season even started, and they weren't good. And it was on full display here because they actually faced a pass rush. And Dalton, it might be the new king of garbage time. Like, I started him this week, and I wasn't counting on a big game, but he got me enough points to be a decent quarterback. Mixon was injured. However, Mixon's carries were only 11, 6 last week. Here's the thing. I don't know if I want, like, I want Mixon because of the talent. I don't know if I can hang on just on the talent, though, because the team offensively and the running game doesn't look good. And I don't even know, does Mixon have the talent to overcome a bad offensive line?
I don't think any running back they've had for years, besides maybe Gio for a couple games a season, has the talent to really overcome that offensive line. I think they need Greenback to really expose defenses to force them to move back with Green. That'll give Mixon the chance. I have him in one league. He's my fourth running back.
Yeah.
I always go RB heavy.
Yeah.
But I don't start him. And it's this exact reason, not because he's injured. It's because the Bengals, year in, year out, the only person I ever trust in that team is Green.
Both Tyler Boyd and Ross had good games again. Boyd, 10 for 10, 122. That's what you want out of your number one receiver while you're waiting for your true number one to come back. And Boyd looked better last year when Green was on the field. So when you add Ross, I think this team pass-wise could be dangerous. Unfortunately, their defense is terrible.
Yeah.
But pass-wise, they could be dangerous. And for fantasy, they're going to have 2 to 3 legitimate starters at wide receiver going forward.
The 49ers, they look really good this week. Garoppolo looked pretty good this week, but again, it was a bad defense, and they lost tackle Joe Staley. He fractured his fibula, expected to miss 6 to 8 weeks, so that's going to hurt a little bit. But in terms of stable usage, you got to love Matt Breida. You got to love Marquise Goodwin. They're both playing pretty well. Marquise Goodwin, much more efficient and much better games just on 3 targets. But what I was really excited to see was Raheem Mostert really getting involved in the game. Guys, if he wasn't a waiver ad last week and he's still out there, he's got to be up there this week.
You got to add him just on what he did this week. A fantastic game. And I didn't expect it, and I'm not going to say I did. The dude showed up, and he showed out. It's massive. I expect his usage to remain basically the same. Maybe a slight uptick in receptions because Debo played well today. And if he's still out there on the waiver wires, you might want to scoop him. But the 5 for 87, I expect more like a 3 for 50 kind of guy out of him.
Okay.
But the 49ers were just all systems go, all cylinders firing at 100%. It was beautiful to watch.
What's crazy to me is watching, it didn't matter who the running back was back there. So you have Burita, you have Mostert, and then Jeff Wilson. Didn't he get 2 touchdowns?
Like, yeah, the vulture bastard.
Yeah, I mean, so just anybody they put back there. So I don't think you pick up Jeff Wilson yet, but, you know, Burita has a history of getting hurt too, right? So he's a guy to watch out for in case something happens, because it really just doesn't seem to matter. Whoever the 49ers put in their backfield seems to have a good game.
Yeah, I think you could start both as a flex easily, if not, a wide receiver or a running back 3, if you have a 3 running back type of thing. I'm a little concerned about George Kittle in terms of stats. And usage this week was down. So 10 targets week one, 8 receptions for 54 yards. He missed 2 touchdowns, called back on penalty in week one. So that would have been a great, great week to show everyone why you drafted George Kittle early. But the stats don't show it. And this week, 3 for 3 for 54 yards. The stats don't show it. So sneaky players will be trying to buy George Kittle. I think his value is never going to be lower. But I'm curious if George Kittle rebounds. I mean, I think he does.
George, he's, in my eyes, probably next to Travis Kelce, the best tight end in the league.
I agree.
I think this week and last week, it was they put on a clinic. They didn't really need him that much. When he did targeted, he looked fantastic. He's Garoppolo's safety blanket, and Garoppolo didn't need a safety blanket this week. Garoppolo is fine. So, I mean, when they go against tougher defenses, I would expect Kittle to get a lot more work. But 3 for 54, that's 8 points. That's what you should expect out of your tight end.
Right. Okay, you wouldn't trade Kelce for Kittle. You wouldn't. Would you trade Zach Ertz for Kittle? Straight up?
I don't.
Not with the injuries right now.
Okay.
If Alshon and D-Jax are healthy, I'd consider it.
Who else is there? Who else is like right below them that you might consider trading for Kittle, where you might be able to make a sale, tight end wise?
Waller, yeah, for
maybe.
Oakland.
Yeah, maybe.
If you don't believe in Derek Carr, I could. If someone's really high on him, even though Oakland does have a history of using their tight ends a lot, I could see that. Delanie Walker.
Derek Carr loves his tight end.
He does.
Derek Carr. He does.
Delanie Walker, I could see trying to move on from him.
Marcus and Mariota, if you're the Kelce, loves his tight end. If,
he does, but at the same time, I think Kittle will be the guy. That being said, I have Travis Kelce in the league, and I need running back help desperately, thanks to Duke Johnson, Damian Williams, that situation unfolding the way it did. With Kelce on my team, I'm actually going to the Kittle owner and looking to get a running back and Kittle off that guy, because I think long-term, Kittle will be fine. And if I can use the 2 explosive games from Kelce and get myself a nice RB2, I'm going to be hyped.
I got you. So you're basically moving lateral. You feel like moving lateral at tight end plus a running back. I like that. Okay. I like that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, let's talk about the Seahawks. Max, another guy who loves his tight ends. Russell Wilson, 2 quarterback or 2 touchdowns to Will Disley. I'll just let you go wild. Tell me about the Seahawks game. Why am I echoing?
All right, so the Seahawks didn't look good again. They really scared me. I'm sorry to say that as a Seahawks fan. Rashad Penny looked fantastic, and it really pissed me off because I have Chris Carson in a bunch of leagues, but Rashad Penny should be the starter there. I said it. Fight me if you want. I don't care. You guys can at me on Twitter now.
I said in the preseason, but I had this was a thing. It was like when you vote for Trump, but you can't tell anybody. I actually like Penny's value a lot more than Chris Carson this year. But now I can say it.
I have Penny on teams where I don't even have Chris Carson because I love Rashad Penny.
So do I.
He runs hard. He wants the job, and you can tell he's got a chip on his shoulder.
Yep.
Oh, I can hear the typing away. I'm going to get stats thrown in my face in 2 seconds.
Well, and Carson. No, Carson hasn't been terribly efficient either.
Russell Wilson does love his tight ends. The issue is Vanette is a good tight end. He's primarily a blocking tight end, but he'll look at him. This was Disley's week. DK Metcalf stepped up, and I love that they finally have a – when I say vertical threat, I don't mean speed guy. I mean a jump ball guy with DK Metcalf. They haven't had that since Sidney Rice. It's been forever and a day. So if you have Lockett or Metcalf, you're golden. The issues are going to be with tight end. I don't trust. I mean, Dilsey is the tight end to own if you need someone. But as of right now, I don't necessarily trust that because I'm pretty sure Vanette had a good season last year.
All right.
So this could go either way for me. But the tight ends in Seattle do get used. Russell Wilson does love the tight ends. All right. Throw the stats in base. Why is Carson just so much better than Penny?
No, that's not. Honestly, that's not it. What it is you said that Penny looked so good out there. He had one long touchdown run. Before that, he was 10 for 25. That's not good. And he had one long run. So, look, it's great he had the run. You can't take it away from him. But 10 for 25 is not going to get it done on any field. And, yeah, Carson fumbled, but he was way better than 10 for 25.
Carson was 14 for 40. Oh, Carson was 14 for 39. He wasn't much better. That being said, if you look at the style of running backs they have, I think they want Seattle trying to be a run first team. They're trying to recreate Marshawn Lynch. And in my eyes, if you're going to do that, Rashard Penny's the guy. Rashard Penny's the guy I think can handle the workload better than Chris Carson. Chris Carson's extremely talented, and I would love a true split, like a true split. But I would want Rashard Penny to be my first and second down guy on the sole fact that I think he has that skill set. He runs hard. He runs angry. That's kind of Seattle's bread and butter when it comes to running backs. That's why Thomas Rawls excelled before he got hurt, because he didn't have the body to do it.
Yeah. Like I said, so Carson was 15 for 60. He averaged 4 per carry. He also had 3 receptions. I think the biggest thing here was Lockett's bounce back after week one. I was worried about Lockett after week one, and coming back with 12 targets and catching 10 of them, you know, that's kind of what we wanted to see from Lockett this year versus last year getting targeted 3 times and catching 2 touchdowns, being super efficient. You wanted to see more targets, and we actually saw that out of Lockett this week. So that's what was encouraging to me here.
All right, let's move on to the Chargers. Not a lot to talk about in this team. Rivers was whatever. No, you know, tough game, I think, overall for him. But Eckler's good. Justin Jackson ran well again. Had a long touchdown called back, unfortunately. Keenan Allen, good. With Henry out, Mike Williams, he was okay. Maybe there's a knee. Here's a question. On the Chargers, is there anyone available on waivers that you're adding? I probably asked this last week. Again, this week, same question. Anybody, like, stand out to you that could potentially be a bust? Let me try that again. Is there anybody on this Chargers team who you're adding on waivers who we didn't talk about, because I don't know if we talked about anybody last week, who's got some potential to earn you some points in the upcoming weeks here?
The only name that you can think of is Travis Benjamin, but we didn't see it this week. I don't know that we're going to see it next week. I don't think there's anybody else on this team.
Can you repeat what you said? Sorry, you went robot on me for a second. I didn't hear you.
No, it was just and I asked this question last week. If there's any guys on this team that you
I didn't hear what your sleeper pick was or the potential pickup was.
He said Travis Benjamin.
Oh, Travis Benjamin. Yeah, for me, I'm actually looking at if I have the roster spots in some leagues, I do Dontrell Inman, because Keenan Allen and Mike Williams are getting a lot of work, and if one of them goes down, Inman's the next man up. And with a stat line of 1 for 28, he's probably out there. So that's who I'm looking to add, because this team's a high-flying team.
Yeah,
that's how they've always been. So it's never hurts to roster a Chargers wide receiver, especially with the wide receiver history.
Gotcha. All right, yeah, let's talk about wide receivers. Let's talk about wide receivers disappearing. On the Lions team, let's see. Amendola completely disappeared. Hockenson completely disappeared. And Galladay showed up, and you saw a Marvin Jones sighting. And Kerryon Johnson got a kind of a fluky touchdown. And Ty Johnson got involved. So, to me, this Lions team that we thought we had some clarity on last week just got a lot more convoluted.
Hockenson is still a guy I want to add. I do like him. This was an odd week. I'll put it that way. It was an odd week for the Lions. That being said, your guys are your guys. Galladay is still your guy. Hockenson, I do believe, will still be the guy. Jesse James is good, but Hockenson, I think, is better. Johnson, you're good to go. Amendola, I was never high on, and I don't think I'll ever be high on him unless he's back on the Patriots.
It to me just shows that when you play a good defense, what you did against a bad defense doesn't matter.
Right.
That's what happened with Hockenson. You know, Arizona looks like, so start your tight ends against Arizona, because week one they allowed Hockenson to crush it. Week two they allowed Mark Andrews to crush it. So, you know, whoever the tight end is playing against Arizona this week, he's your start. So Hockenson's a rookie. He's going to be up and down. He's got talent. He showed talent week one, so he's very matchup dependent. Amendola disappeared against a good defense. Kenny Galladay looked good. Marvin Jones looked better than his stat line. He got missed on a wide open long pass that would have been a touchdown. Just Matt Stafford overthrew him. So the core guys there, I still think, have value. Kerryon Johnson, it's nice to see him have a long touchdown, even if it was fluky. He ran tough when he did run. I didn't see much CJ Anderson, but I don't have the stats right in front of me to see what their the share was this week.
That's my fault. That's my fault.
No. No, so I've been pretty good at looking at like the percentage of each guy being on the field.
Well, what's the
CJ Anderson, not snap count, but as far as rush attempts, he had 5 and Kieron had 12. I think Kieron did play the majority of the game. I'm not sure the exact snap count, but as far as usage, Kieron was more than double.
Yeah, I've been looking at snap counts a lot, and this game is just one I missed. And so it's like Max just said, it looked like Kerryon's usage was much higher than it was in week one. And to me, that's encouraging because that, as a guy who took Kerryon before a lot of the hype brought him into the second round, I got him a lot in the late third, early fourth. Like, I have him everywhere. So it's nice to see the coach recognizing the talent. So that's encouraging to me.
I don't know. Okay, so he had 12. Kerryon had 12 carries this week as opposed to 16 in week one. But then you had C.J. Anderson and Ty Johnson combined for 10 carries together. Last team to talk about is the Steelers, and we talked about them at the top of the show, so it's good to kind of wrap up with them. Well, and here's the thing. I don't think, and we talked about it at the top of the show, I don't think that this is as big of a hit as people think it's going to be. I mean, Ben is a great quarterback, no matter what you say or how he plays. He can win games. So it's going to fall more on the offensive line, which is still good. And if they can keep Rudolph upright, I think the Steelers are still competitive. Maybe not as competitive, but I think they're still very competitive. And I'm not downgrading too many of the skill players. In fact, I'm kind of bumping up the run game a little bit. I think they're going to utilize that more. You haven't seen a ton of uses out of James Conner. Granted, he did get a little banged up this week. But I think Samuels and Conner and Snell are going to see a lot of work coming up. All right, that's it for the team reviews. Let's hit these waiver ads real quick. Oh, Madden music. All right, we're going to talk about waiver ads and drops, maybe even, guys, you're just tired of holding on to. We've talked about it all show, but I want to just touch on it real quick at the end. Max, let's start with you this time. Who's your top waiver guys this week? Who are you picking up for sure?
Mostert, if he's available. If you guys didn't pick up, and I'm blanking on his name, of course, Redskins wide receiver.
McLaurin.
If you guys didn't pick up McLaurin, definitely go after him. Cole Beasley was last week. He's going to be a PPR stud for you. And, yeah, those are, like, my three, like, must-ads right now, especially Cole Beasley. Allen's looking like a little stud. If you have Cam Newton, I would look at Allen to add. Or Jacoby Brissett. There's so many middling guys that are going to be on the wire this week specifically look good, and I don't want to take them all. But, yeah, so Beasley, McLaurin, and Mostert. They're just guys that I think I'd be comfortable starting every single week in a flex.
All right, Jason.
Somebody we talked about earlier, DeMarcus Robinson, for me, he's a must-add. Anybody on that Kansas City team that catches the ball from Pat Mahomes is a must-add for me. One guy we didn't talk about, much like Steve, when you said go pick up Golden Tate, I'm potentially adding Chris Herndon this week. If I need tight end help, he comes back after week 4, so grab him now while he's free if you have a roster spot. That's a guy I'm kind of targeting if you need a tight end. Let's see. And Jalen Samuels is another guy for me, especially if – now, Connor, it's already come out and said that Connor is healthy, but if I have a deep bench, that last roster spot, especially if I'm the Connor owner, I may go out and get Jalen Samuels just to protect my early round pick.
Let me throw a couple names at you guys. You tell me if you're ready to drop them or not. Yeah, just drop or keep from each of you here, real quick. Kenyon Drake.
Drop.
All right, Dante Moncrief.
Drop.
Double drop. All right, drop in stereo. Dante Pettis.
Drop.
Drop.
All right. DeeDee Westbrook.
Keep.
I'm dropping him too.
Okay, all right.
For now. I'm going to keep him for now.
Keep him for now. I feel the same way. The only guy I was really on the fence about was Dante Pettis. Like, the first week I can forgive. The second week he played more, didn't just nothing. Like, I drafted him relatively high in terms of wide receivers too, and I just want to see it, but I don't think I'm going to see it. We talked a little bit about some buy lows. For me, it's Diggs. Jason, you like to buy Evans low this week. Max, do you guys have any other buy lows that you really saw pop out at you this week?
You could possibly buy low in Devonta Freeman or Todd Gurley. Todd Gurley, he's getting spelled. He looked better. You're willing to risk it. You might be able to scoop him up for a Keyron Johnson who looked like he was starting to pick it up.
I don't know. Yeah,
even though that would be a stretch of a trade.
Is, yeah, that's a stretch because Gurley is going in the first round, so people are still – and he hasn't shown anything bad
He's – well, that's the thing. Gurley's not showing anything bad, but he's not showing what you drafted him for, so he's a person to target. That being said, there's like Leonard Fournette's out there who's underperforming. I might want to go after him. Maybe offer Chris Carson for Leonard Fournette, even though he's coming off not of a great game. I don't know. There are definitely people out there. It's just Freeman. Yeah, I'd say Freeman, Fournette are the two, now that I think about it, the most I'd probably try to attack and go after because they're not looking very good, especially Fournette. Oh, new quarterback woes, all this. But I think when it comes out in the wash, he'll be fine.
Yeah, I think Evans is my biggest buy low. I think better games are ahead. And even he had bad game, and he was still in double digits. So a lot of players, when they have bad games, you know, they end up with 5 or 6 points, kind of like McCaffrey had 5 or 6 points and you were really upset. But at least even in Evans' bad game, he had double digits for you. So Evans is a guy. Kamara, now it's not like he's low, but he's lower than he's been in a long time. So you may be able to get a panicked owner with the Breeze news to give you.
What would you offer? Gurley?
I'd do Gurley for Kamara, I think.
Oh, I do Gurley for Kamara this second, but I think you'd have to add another piece to that. So, you know, pick a wide receiver that had a good week, throw him with Gurley, and you could possibly get Kamara, whereas last week you couldn't.
Yeah, but I know the Kamara owners that at least I play with, when you have such an extreme talent, it's going to be hard. You need a guy who exploded this week.
Well, so one thing that you got to think of yourself as a used car salesman, right?
Yeah.
So when you're buying a guy, you have to keep pushing. Think about how much less opportunity Kamara is going to have now, and I'm offering you some stability on your lineup.
Always be
and
closing.
Like I said, he's not low. It's not like you're going to be able to go out and get him for nothing. You're still going to have to pay up for him, but he is at his lowest value in a good long time. So he's not unobtainable anymore. That's my point.
Put that coffee down.
All right.
Coffee is for closes only.
I love Glengarry Glen Ross.
I do too, and that's a good strategy to get those guys. You want to close. Always be closing. ABC. A man don't walk on the lot lest he wants to buy. You hear me, you effing F words? All right. I know the whole speech. I'm not going to do the whole thing. I like all that information. I like all that advice. I'm trying to sell John Ross this week. Two big weeks, garbage time this past week. If I can get some stuff for John Ross, I'm good about it. I think now is the time. Now is the time. I could do John Ross for Stephon Diggs. That'd be beautiful. All right, we're going to wrap it up, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. I want to thank Max and Jason for being on the show. Two of the most prepared guys I have ever had the pleasure of doing shows with. These guys bring good information. They watch the games, and they really prepare for the stuff. So if you want to talk to them online, get more advice, you want to reach out to them if you like the way they think, you can reach Jason on the Sleeper app at BFTGDRMIL or on Twitter at FLDRMILBARGE. Max is on the Sleeper app at SWMax, and now he's on Twitter at, say it, Max, I forgot already.
Yeah, it's Max SW. 23.
Max SW23 on Twitter. You can find me on the Sleeper app at SW Steve or on Twitter at Toledo Radio. We're there all the time. We'll answer your questions. Also, if you have any other questions you want to get at us, sleeperwire.com/advice. Go to our webpage, fill in the form, and we'll try to get back to you as soon as we can. We try to keep up with our emails there. And also on Wednesday night, don't forget the Mail Sack, the live show. It is a live call-in show. You can call us with your trade questions, waiver questions, start sit advice. We have the phone lines open. The number, take it down now, 256-56-SLEEP, 256-567-5337. Save it in your phone under, like, memory dial 1. And then Wednesday night at 8 o'clock when we go live, just push that button and you'll get a hold of us. All right, Max, Jason, thank you again for being on the show today. And we're going to wish you good luck in week 3. We hope you guys are winning, and we're going to keep winning with you. This has been the Sleeper Wire program. And that's all the notes I got. Have a wonderful week, everybody. Bye-bye.
Peace.